My name is Dan. I'm one of the pastors here on staff at Monte Vista, and we are in a series on the book of Joshua called The Whisper of Wisdom. And when we, as a preaching team, sat down, 6 or 7 months ago and started mapping out the book of Joshua, I circled this one and I said, dibs. I am so excited for chapter 10 today, one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. So if I come off a little bit more excited than normal, I'm not going to apologize. I'm going to say amen a little louder. Amen? Okay. So let me give you a little summary of the story before we get rolling, and then we'll jump right into that. You're going to need your listening guide. There's some fill in the blanks there that I think will be a little bit helpful for us this morning as we're moving along. So let me start with a little summary. Joshua has, in this part of the story, he's already led the Israelites across the Jordan River. And then they marched around a city called Jericho. They marched around 7 times, and then the walls came tumbling down. Then they destroyed Ai, and word has gotten around that I feel like I'm like doing the Star Wars recap, right? With like the slow scrolling deal where it's like a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. I feel like I'm giving you the recap of where the empire is and like where the realm, yeah, sorry. I could do it, never mind, okay. So word gets around that Joshua and the Israelites are knocking heads. And so in chapter 9, the Gibeonites make a truce with the Israelites and end up basically becoming employees of Israel, but also under the protection of Israel. So basically they're now Israel's little kid brother or something like that. So we find ourselves then in chapter 10. And what's happening in chapter 10 is a coalition of 5 armies have come together and they've chosen to attack Gibeon, which is this brand new ally of Israel. And so the Gibeonites come and get their big brother Joshua, and they say, hey, these guys are picking on us. 5 armies, 5 nations have come together to battle us Gibeonites, the single army. And so Joshua is going to engage Israel in this fight, this cause, this attack from the enemy. It's 5 armies on 2 armies. May the odds be ever in their favor. Now, before I get to the story we're going to look at, I want to pause. The sermon title for this morning is Wisdom Believes God for the Impossible. Wisdom believes God for the impossible. I am passionate about this. I am passionate about us right-sizing our perspective and our experiences with God, so that we remind ourselves of who we worship, what is worthy of our worship. Can I say something that might rub you the wrong way for a moment? I'm asking permission. It's not super like, for some people are like, no, don't. I think scripture's painted with this idea. If our experience of what it means to be a Christian doesn't make us scratch our heads from time to time, we're probably insulting God with what we expect out of him. Yeah, let me say it one more time. If our experience of what it means to be a Christian doesn't make us scratch our heads from time to time, like what just happened? We are probably insulting God with what we are expecting out of him. Because God took dust from the ground and blew life into it. Because God took nothing and made something out of it. That's head scratching. Because God had Mary get pregnant without a husband. Because God let his son walk on water. He surfed without a board. It's cheating. If we don't scratch our heads from time to time about the God that we're following, we're probably insulting God by what we think of him or what we expect out of him. And people, I want us to be head scratchers. Amen? So let me explain. I think there are a lot of Christians stumbling through life in survival mode. But Jesus didn't die on a cross for us to barely get by, people. Now, that's where you are this morning, I'm not shaming that. I'm not judging that. But what I want to do this morning is I want to remind us of the God that we serve. God saved us so he could raise us and use us for his glory. And glory is not like a wishy-washy word. Like glory is not one of those things that you can like put a number to or draw a picture around. Glory is intense. It's powerful. It brings me to my knees. It makes great the name of Jesus. It celebrates the power of God that is alive and at work in the lives of believers. Glory, being used for glory, that is not a small task. And so I don't know what situations you find yourself in that are hard lately, But this message is about that situation you're facing. The 5-on-2, it doesn't seem fair thing that's going on. It's about the place in your life where you need to experience a movement of God so wild and outrageous that it could only be because God did it. Finances. Maybe you don't know where the next meal is going to come from. Maybe you don't know. I mean, it's cold this morning. Maybe you don't know how the heat bill is going to get handled. Maybe you've been out of work or underemployed. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks and you're here this morning and it's your last ditch effort to say, God, show up because we need help. Maybe it's a relationship that you're in that you cannot wait for Thanksgiving to get past so you don't have to deal with it again. Maybe it's your job situation. You have a boss that is a tyrant or somebody who's not kind to you or it wasn't fair or whatever the thing happened at work. Maybe your family is in crisis right now. Maybe there is hurt that you just didn't expect to be dealing with today. Could be your own internal struggle, an addiction that you just can't seem to shake it. Whatever the thing is that you're 5-on-2, that's you're the underdog. Whatever the thing that you're in right now that seems really hard, this morning is for you. If you find yourself being bullied by the world or put down by the world or discouraged by the world, if you find yourself in a situation like the Gibeonites are in, where you're under attack, I want you to know something. I've got a big brother and his name is Jesus. He is mighty to save. He is a strong tower. He brings kings and queens to their knees. He is able to provide when it doesn't seem like there's going to be a way. He is holy, holy, holy Lord Almighty who was and is yet to come again. He is powerful beyond compare. That name Jesus brings the spirit world to its knees. It brings our right-sized issues in front of a bigger-sized God and says, here, you take it. Reminds me of a little bit of how it is to be a dad of small children. I have a 4, almost 5-year-old named Levi, and Levi is famous for that point in the day, and you probably understand this to some degree, even if you don't have kids, but it's that point in the day where I can finally kick up the recliner, right? Oh, I could just finally just sit down and like the dishes are put away or whatever, not in our house, but like, you know what I mean? Theoretically speaking, and I can just put the recliner up and I can like take the foot off the gas for a minute and the day is winding down. My 4.5-year-old has a nose for that moment. And without fail, my 4.5-year-old will be like, Dad, come here. You come here. No, you come here. No, I'm the dad. You come here. You could imagine that moment, right? The tension of, I just put my feet up, boy, right? My son can sniff that moment out. And what he's learned, and he is a cunning little 4.5-year-old. I feel bad for his youth pastor one day. What he's figured out is, if he says, Dad, come here, I'm probably going to fight him a little bit on it. But if he says, Dad, I need you. Yes, my son, of whom I am well pleased. How can I rush to your aid, right? What's the point? Why do I respond when he says, I need you? Because I'm a good dad, right? When your kid needs you, you show up. And that's true of God and his children. And I got news for you. If you have a thing that's beating right here, if you have breath in your lungs, you're a child of God. And when you say, Daddy, I need you, he shows up. He shows up. That's exactly how God is with us. We have a daddy who is ready to say, all right, come on, come here, I'll help you, I'll rescue you, I'll show up. I'm not going to let you just dangle. Back to the story. We haven't even gotten to the Bible yet. Can you tell I'm excited? Joshua chapter 10, verse 7. Jack, throw it up there for me, baby. So Joshua marches up from Gilgal. Remember, he's helping out the Gibeonites. So he shows up in Gibeon with his entire army, including the best fighting men. This is like a 20-mile hike, okay? About 3,000 feet of elevation climb. These guys hoofed it all night. to show up to Gibeon. These guys were hustling. Verse 8, then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be, the Lord says to Joshua, once they show up and have been hiking all night, don't be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. It's interesting to me that the battle that here is in front of Joshua, that he's about to lead his men into, the Lord speaks of it in past tense. Did you catch that? Jack, put verse 8 back up there, Jack. I have given them into your hand. Past tense. They have been given into your hand. You haven't fought the battle yet, but it's already been won. Verse 9. After an all-night march from Gilgal, they took a siesta. No, Joshua took them by surprise. I love this. The Lord is with us. There is no time to sleep. Let's light it up, baby. Come on. Right? We've been hiking all night. Verse 10. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, so Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. The Lord threw them into confusion. Like, the picture that I'm getting here is, like, Israel didn't beat them, like, in a war beat them. They beat themselves because they got confused. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. When God speaks of the battle in front of you, he speaks of it in the past tense, Christian. And that's because the battle has already been won. See, God knows the outcome of the thing that you are facing. There's not a curveball in the universe that he has not seen coming. And so the battle that God has in front of you, the land that he wants you to inhabit, if you go back to my introduction about 7 weeks ago, right? This is not about conquering land. It's about inhabiting a kingdom. The land that he wants you to inhabit as his people has already been given to you. And so what this becomes in front of Joshua and in front of you and me is a trust exercise. God's real invitation for us to consider is, do I actually believe that the kingdom is coming and the will is being done on earth as it is in heaven? Or is that just a prayer I memorized as a child? Do I really believe? Am I really willing to trust God on a 5-on-2 situation that the kingdom is coming, that the battle's been won, that the thing that's in front of me has already been gavel dropped? Now watch where this story goes. As they fled before Israel, they've been beat, they're retreating. On the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord, this is like crazy, this is like Jurassic Park, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them. If you think the Bible is boring, huzzah, right? Large hailstones, and more of them died from the hail than were killed by the sword of the Israelites. Okay, that's like, I'm from California, like through and through. I've never seen hail like that. Maybe it's because I lived by the beach my whole life. Okay, this is a crazy scene. The Amorites are defeated and they know it, right? Because they're confused. So they ditch. They're going to retreat. Get out of here. So they turn and they run. And as they're running, God's like, what can we do that would slow them down a little bit? I know, ding, hail. Dials it up, right? Like a member of the X-Men. And a massive hailstorm just starts sniping these guys off one by one. Can you just like imagine the scene? This is your first fill in the blank. Grab this bad boy. God can do more in a moment than I can do in a lifetime. Yep. Let me preach it a little louder. God could do more in one instant than I can do in my entire lifetime. Like this applies to every area of your life. Somebody said, well, what about my finances? God can do better with 90% of your income than you can do with 100%. Right? God can do more in an instant than I can do in an entire lifetime. So we get to we're not even to the best part of the story yet, folks. I've told you, it's good this morning. We're going to get to the pinnacle right now, though. Verse 12. On that day, the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel. And they're running away, and they're getting away. And so Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, he prays a prayer. Son, stop. Stand still over Gibeon. And you, moon, over this valley that we're in. Sun, stop. Moon, pause. It's a prayer that he prayed. Can I just preach here for a minute? What impossible need do you have in your life right now? What thing seems so far-fetched, so out there that, nope, not even going to worry about it, except I'm worried about it. Let's ask God for that. Let's shoot for the sun. What I'm talking about is, this is not like I need a Ferrari, right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not like, let's test God and see if I can get this cool blessing. That's not what I'm talking about at all. What I'm talking about is when you have a need that is aligned with God's story for you, all it takes is us asking, us stepping into that thing in faith, us asking the sun to stand still, and then get ready, people, because God is a good daddy. He is a good, good father. He's going to show up. We have to partner with the Lord, right? The Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites, and Joshua still was asking. It's a partnership. So look what happens. The next verse says, so the sun stood still. The moon stopped until the nation of Israel avenged itself on its enemies. And this is written in another place besides scripture. This thing happened, written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky, the scriptures relay to us, and delayed going down a full day. Verse 14 is no duh. There has never been a day like it before or since. A day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. There's never been a day like it. You know the next time this happens? It's when Jesus dies. Darkness fell over the earth. It was the opposite. Sun didn't stay up, sun went down. There's never been a day like this. Surely the Lord is fighting for Israel. I want God to do something so big that only he can take the credit. The story fires me up. But what do we do? Because I can hear it inside of you. What do we do when we pray for the sun to stand still and it just keeps setting? Real life, right? I prayed for the breakthrough and it didn't happen. Let me see if I can not mess this up, because this is really important. Even if the sun doesn't stand still in your situation, the Lord can still do something in your heart so that the world around you might see you and say, surely the Lord is fighting for that person. Surely the Lord is fighting for them. Let me just right size all of our needs here for a moment. Joshua literally needs God to press pause on the universe. I guarantee whatever need you're facing is not that big. You don't need a DVR for the sun today in your life. God says, if you're crazy enough to pray it, I am crazy enough to perform it. I am, because I have the power. The power that said, I'm going to create the entire everything you see in 6 days and take the seventh day off. That power is at our disposal as Christ followers. And here's the deal, Monte Vista Chapel. You, we, us, we've seen the sun stand still before. Let me give you some examples of the sun standing still. If you're a parent, and you've prayed, since like I have for my kids, since the time before they were even born, that they would come to know Jesus. And then you've seen your kids jump up in this baptismal and say, I want to follow Jesus. You've seen the sun stand still. Every Tuesday night, we have a gathering of recovery folks at Monte Vista, life recovery, that are making the sun stand still one day at a time as they fight addiction. Our missions department, we saw some pictures that Ken showed us last week of a guy in an airplane doing Bible translation on the other side of the world at a people group that doesn't have the scriptures, doesn't have the word of God. You're making the sun stand still, that person actually gets to hear the voice of God through the scriptures illuminated to them. The sun is standing still there. Every time we lift our voices in worship, we change the atmosphere in this room. There's something physical happening where heaven and earth get really thin. Do you know what I'm talking about? Did you feel that this morning? Amen. Right? The sun stands still every single day if we're willing to look hard enough for those things. Because we're asking God for these movements. We're believing together for something that if we try and do it ourselves, we know it won't come to pass. I can't save my kids. I can pray for them, but I can't save them. I can't beat an addiction by myself. I can't give up my career and go into the mission field where there's no roads and no cars and no pizza. I can't do it. I am not enough to do any of these things by myself. Oh, but when I get Abba involved, when I call my big brother Jesus, when I talk to my daddy, now the tables have turned. Now the scale has been tilted. Now we're talking. I have some firepower on my side. Do you know what I'm talking about? When I get serious about entrusting something like my career to the Creator, then I begin believing by faith for my finances instead of trying to figure out my own fate. Do you understand that a church like this, it can have the sun stand still so often that it actually gets bored of it? Oh, they baptized another person today. Where do you want to go to lunch after church? Oh, Beach Bums, our junior high summer camp was sold out this year. I bet Disneyland was nice for the kids. Oh, it's Wednesday night. I guess that means that there's True Clubs happening tonight on our campus for over 250 children who are hearing about this Creator God I've been preaching about for 20 minutes. Do you think we can make it to Target and back before we have to pick them up? Oh, it's Sunday and it's cold today. I wonder what coat I'm going to put on so that I can make it from the parking lot to the worship center where the heat's on and the chairs feel good. It's a sun standstill moment that we can just lose track of. I'll tell you what, folks, there are churches that haven't baptized a person in a decade. There are churches who struggle to get 5 kids to go to their summer camp, let alone 75. There's churches that can only dream of having 2 dozen kids come to church and love coming to church, let alone 10 dozen. There are churches where the sun doesn't stand still a tenth as much as that thing comes to rest over Monte Vista Chapel. And when we remember the movements of God around us, we become grateful. It's your next fill in the blank. Remembering God's movements unleashes gratitude. Can you feel the turn? When I remember all that God has done, I have no choice but to worship, to say thank you, Daddy. It raises our faith and our expectation of God continuing to do another miraculous movement and another one, because I've seen him move and I believe he'll do it again. People, if we only take the time to pay attention and remember the immensity of God's power and his love and his provision and his blessing for us, you'll remember and you'll realize every breath you breathe is a gift. It's a sun stand still moment. Let me give you a little example to explain this whole getting bored phenomenon. When I lived in Modesto, every year our church had a fireworks stand. Anybody ever worked at a fireworks stand? Lord, hear our prayer. You run into some people when they find out, oh, you worked at a fireworks stand. That must have been fun. You hear something like that. Oh, yeah, all that cool stuff must have been really fun. No, I hated it. And then by myself. Here's the thing. I used to love fireworks. I used to love them. 4th of July, bucket of KFC, me and my cousins and my family watching fireworks. One of my favorite things growing up. Our homeowners association had a pool party every year. We used to dive for quarters. It was like Disneyland on the 4th of July. The parades, everything, and then ending the night way too tired. Mom and dad are totally ticked because it seemed like a good idea at the time, and now their kids are screaming, but the fireworks were amazing. It's like that scene in Sandlot. It's the one night of the year they can have a night game. Fireworks, right? I used to love fireworks. You work at a fireworks stand in Modesto in 110 degree 4th of July heat for 12 hours. Lord bless your soul. The nicest customers Modesto has to offer, man, it's tough. That's a flammable box full of gunpowder. Who thinks of this stuff? And I started hating it. Guy walk up to the counter. Hey, what does that one do? Well, it sparkles and makes a loud boom. Well, what does that one do? It's a little bit louder. Sparkles, makes a big boom. Oh, what does that one do? And it's kind of like ordering Mexican food. It's like the same 7 ingredients, just prepared a different way, right? And I love that, right? But it, like, some people just didn't like click into place. And by, you know what? My first year at Monte Vista, I no longer had to work the fireworks booth at my old church. I was in bed at 8 p.m. on the 4th of July. I wanted nothing to do with fireworks. I was completely bored by fireworks. In fact, I actually grew a distaste for those things. Oh, get the baptism over with. Let's just get to the singing. Oh, I don't like this song. Get to the message. Let's preach the Bible. I actually grew a distaste for something that was once magical for me. This is the type of awe and wonder we are to have at the power of God. God gave me a gift. My 4.5-year-old son, Levi, he sees fireworks and it's the best thing ever. Every single time. May I never lose that enthusiasm for the God of the universe. May we never grow stale and tired and weary of celebrating the sun standing still in our midst. I keep pointing over there because that's a big one. I love that. I mean, that's close to DVRing the universe when somebody wants to surrender their heart to God. Here's the deal. When Joshua wrote this, he comments that there has never been a day like it before it or since. His perspective was of expectancy because he believed in the power of the promise from verse 8. And that promise was that the battle was already won. But up until this point, the battles had not been won. They had either been won because the Israelites followed the direction God gave them, let's do it. Oh, it's back. Praise the Lord. I'm an Enneagram 3. I like to win. You're all laughing because you're not threes, probably. I'm a little bit obsessed with it. But you know what I really like to do? I especially like to win at the things that God wants us to win at. I get passionate about that. If you don't like to win at the things that God likes us to win at, you've got to check yourself. Because Joshua liked to win at these things too. So let's see God win at some things. If we want to see the things come to pass by faith that God has in store for us, I have a little bit of three-step strategy for us that can raise our faith in those things. Are you ready for the three things? The sun stands still steps. They're on your listening guide. Number one. We need to go back to go forward. Write it in. We need to go back to go forward. What does that mean? I'm going to tell you. You want to raise your faith? Let's go back to go forward. All I have to do is go through the Rolodex of God's faithfulness in my life. All I have to do is think back on the things where God has shown up before, and then I start believing even stronger that he's going to show up again. All I need to do is open up my Facebook and go to the time hop thing and like scroll back. And I can see the stories of students surrendering their lives to Christ at camps or in small groups or whatever. And I go, man, he's going to do it again. Because I've seen it. I've seen him move. I've seen him move a mountain. And I believe he can do that again. All I have to do is go back a little bit. And I remember and it reminds me that I can go forward. If I do that, if I'm having a down day and I go back through the Rolodex, I walk out of my office pumped for whatever mountain is in front of me. It lights me. It's like pouring gasoline on a still small flame. You know Moses did this. You know Joshua did this. Chapter 10, sun's going down. Huh. They're getting away. Oh, but remember Moses? Moses stabbed his stick in the ground and had the water part, and then the water came back and they got to escape Egypt. Surely God will show up again. You know, he just saw giant hailstones take out part of the army. Surely God can do something again. Step one, we go back so we can go forward. Amen? Sun stands still. Step number two, we recite regularly. We recite regularly. This one will change your life, people. One of the best practices I've ever been exposed to came from my high school small group leader, Larry. Now, Larry did a lot of things really, really well. But one of the things that he did that I am eternally grateful for is Larry asked us accountability questions every single week in high school, which for young men growing up, having somebody ask you hard questions, it'll change your life, okay? And the first question Larry would ask every single week after we'd go around the circle and do a little check-in was this, real simple question. Have you seen God at work in your life this last week? Go around the circle. Search for it, baby. Find something. How have you seen God show up? That's what he does, right? Daddy, I need you. Right? He shows up. How have you seen God at work in your life in the last 7 days? I got asked it every week for 4 years. And you know what it taught me to do? It taught me to pay attention to the sun stand still moments of my life. So here's the challenge for you. Start a new family tradition today at lunch after church. Go around the table. Tonight at dinner, go around the table. In your small group, with your classmates, at work, wherever you got to find a circle, go around the circle every week. Where have you seen God at work in your life? And let's sharpen that pencil. Let's not let it get boring and dull. Also, a rule about seeing God at work in your life that will help you honor this thing very, very well. Honor every single moment. You're like, Dan, Joshua chapter 10, hailstones from the sky, the sun stood still, the moon stopped. Those are big, big things that Joshua saw come to pass. What about my little itty-bitty small thing? Man, if my five-year-old gets a good report out of preschool, that's the sun standing still because I'm praying for it. You know what I'm saying? Let's celebrate every single thing. Every single thing. Whether the sun comes to a complete halt in your life or you just get like just a glimpse of God's goodness, let's celebrate it. That's two. We go back to go forward. We recite them regularly. Sun stand still, step number three. Have a God-sized BHAG. BHAG. That is not an autocorrect problem. BHAG, I'm gonna tell you about it, but write it in first. Have a God-sized BHAG. Anybody know what BHAG stands for? Big, hairy, audacious goal. Big, hairy, audacious goal. Have a God-sized spiritual BHAG. Have something that you're praying for. They use the acronym PUSH, pray until something happens. Have a God-sized BHAG that you're praying for and believing for. Something that's so big, so outrageous that only God could do it. I love praying these prayers. Because you know why I love praying them? Because God shows up. And that's what's so exciting about following God. He shows up. I shared a year ago with the high school students a BHAG of mine. I actually want to have so many high school kids that want to come to our youth group that we break fire code in the SEB, Lord rest my soul, because we have to turn them away. We have too many high school kids. I did the math on the fire code with the chairs and the stage and the adults and all that. I need 140 high school kids to get serious about coming to church on a Wednesday night for us to break fire code. That's like doubling the size of the group, right? Only God could do that. There is no free pizza I could give away that would do that. You know what I'm saying? It's a God-sized BHAG. I got more BHAGs. I was at a table full of pastors at a community gathering, and they were asking, what's one thing you could ask God for? And I got one. The Harvest Bowl every year. The high school football team, Turlock versus Pittman, they play together. It's called the Harvest Bowl. I want to claim the halftime show at the Harvest Bowl for the kingdom and have somebody give a gospel presentation during halftime of the Harvest Bowl. That's a BHAG. Because there ain't no way that's going to happen with me doing it, right? It has to be God that does it. I keep going. I got all kinds of BHAGs. I want to double the size of a summer camp offering that we have. And by the way, it's like 100 people. Let's do 200. BHAG, right? Not five more people. Like, let's dream huge. Sun stand still. I'm praying BHAG. Radical drop your jaw generosity from Monta Vista Chapel. It just flows out of us like a river. I'm believing every single seat in this room to be full, and we have to, as a staff, go, man, we got to add a second service. That's a BHAG. A baptism every single week of somebody celebrating their commitment to Jesus. That's a BHAG. For entire family trees and legacies to be changed because one person decides to get rock solid serious about their faith, and it changes the legacy of their entire family. BHAG. Sun stand still moments, people. We got to believe for them. We have to pray for them. On our bathroom mirror, on the windshield of our car, wherever we got to do it so that we keep that thing in front of us. I told you I was excited this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah that the God of the universe, hallelujah that God with all of his power, all of his might, all of his holiness, all of his beauty, all of his righteousness, that God lives right here in me. I have that genie in this bottle. And I'm not saying that like all you gotta do is rub. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is I have access to the God of the universe. We have access to the God of the universe. So come on, let's recite it regularly. Let's remind ourselves of the goodness of God. Let's pray for things that are ridiculous and let's see them come to pass. Let's let the sun stand still. That's all I got. If you need somebody to pray for you, and I mean pray, for the sun to stand still and whatever thing you've got going on, there'll be some prayer partners up here at the front of the stage after church. They would just love to hitch their wagon to the God of the universe with you. Let me pray for us, and then I'll give us a blessing. Oh, Father in heaven, you are holy. You are good. Even when I'm not, you are good. And Father, I separate myself from you, and yet you pursue me. You make the sun stand still over my life and the lives of everybody in here every single day, pursuing us with your love. God, it's a miracle that you love us. And we just receive that together, Father. And Lord, we just turn towards you now and ask, God, that you would do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Immeasurably. That you would blow us away with the things that you want to do in and through us, God. That no sun stand still moment would be too small, but God, none of them would be so big that we would be embarrassed to pray for it, God. May we be a head scratching people, God, that we go, how the heck did that happen? It's because I got a big brother named Jesus and a daddy who loves me, who shows up when I ask for him. May we be that people, God. Amen. Would you stand and receive a parting blessing? May we be people who notice God around every single turn, who delight in every color of his creation, and who believe for greater things than we could ever ask or imagine. May it be so now and forevermore. Get out of here. Amen.